Yes, Lord, that is it. And Father, we receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're so thankful that for the next few moments in this service, this little church gathering is going to become a studio where something is going up onto the web and going to the radio stations and going to the nations of the world. That's this map. You can't see all the pins. If you want to put on your glasses and look closely at it, you'll see little pins all over nations and all over the United States. And those pins represent places where people have come to download or people have come to our website. And so we're so grateful for the Lord sending His word to the United States of America from this little church here and to the nations of the world. Why He would choose a little assembly like this can only be understood in to me that he is given greater glory when He does it through a few people than He would if He did it through many. And so God is receiving the greater glory today. And for you that are having end-time marriages, we're going to pray for you before this service is over. Can you say amen? God loves you today, and He's in your corner. Don't ever forget you're not alone in your struggles. Praise God. He is set for your defense. Praise the Lord. Has the offering done been received? I didn't even see him. Boy, he was quick. Amen. Amen. God is so good. Amen. I want to talk to you just a few minutes as we prepare for Holy Communion this morning on the scars of remembrance. I want to talk to you about the communion service itself to begin with and then read some scripture, share some thoughts with you this morning. Communion is basically a memorial service unto God. Amen. We're getting ready to celebrate the 4th of July, our freedom, our independence from foreign kings and powers. America became liberated. And every Christian has a time that you were set free, a time that you were liberated. The day you were saved, you were translated out of the powers of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Amen. Something more than just repenting of sin happened. A change happened. A new position was given you. Amen. Satan's power over you was severed and broken. It doesn't mean he doesn't have the power to tempt, but he doesn't hold you in chains any longer. That's why that great song, Amazing Grace, in the new version says, "My chains are gone." Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So chains are broken. Spiritual strongholds are broken. Prison houses are emptied when people come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. But it's not just a celebration where we remember Him because He said, "This do in remembrance of me." But listen to this. It's remembering Him in a particular way. It's remembering Him dying on the cross for us. It's remembering Him being willing to suffer and die for us. Roman nails didn't hold Him to that wood. Can you say amen? He was God incarnate. Love held Him there. Love for you and love for me. Amen. And Caesar's Roman soldiers and guards didn't keep Him from coming off of that cross. Amen. Remember when they came to take Him, the temple guard, armed temple guards came for Jesus and said, "Are you He?" after Judas kissed Him. And Jesus said, "I am He." And what happened? They fell back. Why were they like slain in the Spirit? Amen. Or by the Spirit. Not in a good way, but in a way that let them know, you with your weapons, you are not taking me. I'm going by my own volition. Can you say, man, I'm going by my own free will. I love mankind enough to do this out of my own volitional will. Make no mistake about it. He wasn't a victim taken to be slaughtered by man. He was God's Lamb offering Himself up for you and for me. He could have called 10,000 angels, He said. Can you say amen when Peter tried to defend Him with a sword? Hallelujah. But as a lamb dumb before his shearers, He opened not His mouth, and it's a good thing He didn't, because if He had spoke, amen, whatever He said would have happened. And if He called the angels to destroy unfaithful men and ungrateful men, it would have happened. He was not a victim as we would see a victim. He was a sacrificed lamb, and He offered Himself freely. For God so loved, He gave His only begotten Son to be offered up. So in the communion service is not only a remembrance of what He did for us, but a recognition that He will never forget us. We are saying openly and plainly, we will never forget what you've done for us. That's why we're celebrating communion. We do it in remembrance of Him. But in that remembrance of Him, we're also recognizing that He will never forget us. Amen. What God was saying on the cross through Jesus was, your sins have separated between me and you, but I have not forgotten you. I have not forsaken fallen men and women. I still love you. I still want to save you. And I'm going to make a way for you to come to me. Can you say, man? So today we're going to have a dual celebration. We're going to take communion to another level because we're going to celebrate not only by remembering what He did for us in His dying and suffering, but the fact that God was telling us very clearly, I have not forgotten you. Because times are going to come in your life when you're going to feel like, and it's going to seem like, that God somehow has forgot to remember you. There will be circumstances that you will not understand. And that's why we have to go right back to the cross. When we can't feel it, we can't see it, we can't understand it, we can't comprehend it, we have to go back to the cross and say, God has not forgotten me. Can you say amen? Listen to me. This is important. This happened in the old covenant with when they went into captivity, went down into Babylon, they felt like we have sinned so greatly. And God is so angry at us for sin that there'll never come a day. And it'll never be like it was. God has cast us off and God has forgotten us. And it's the context of Psalm 77:7. Listen to it through 15. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will He be favorable no more? In other words, is it impossible to ever have His favor again? Is His mercy clean gone forever? Doth His promise fail evermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath He in anger shut up His tender mercies? Selah, he says, I want you to think about this. What if God has forgotten to be gracious? What if He has become so angry that He shut up His tender mercies? And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. You know what He's remembering? What we're remembering today? God's faithfulness, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy, God's commitment to keep His promises to us. Can you say amen? He said, I will meditate also of thy work and I will talk of thy doings. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thy way, God, is in the sanctuary. Who has so great a God as our God? That's our very theme of our radio ministry right now. Sequential studies on who has a God like our God. And amazingly, we're not talking about His might, the creator of heaven and earth. We're talking about His magnanimous. Is that how you say that? That was right. I said it right. His capacity to forgive. His great grace is what distinguishes Him more than His power. Amen. Is His love for fallen man. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. The cross is not about, it is the power of God unto salvation when we trust in Jesus. But the cross is not showing God's power, but His love. Amen. Because a man hangs there seemingly helpless to help himself. But He had all power in heaven and earth. But as a lamb dumb before His shears, He opened not His mouth. Love for you and love for me is what held Him to that old rugged cross. Can you say amen? Who has a God like our God? A God so quick to pardon. A God so filled with mercy. But when His chastisements come, we think He's forgotten us and cast us off. And He said, no, I haven't. I have not and I will not. Hallelujah. Praise God. He said, I need to think about the way God came through His deliverances, the way He came through when people repented. I need to ponder the goodness of God, the greatness and the sense of His grace and His mercy. There are times that I've wondered. I have really wondered when I was going through something and I couldn't find His presence. I couldn't feel His presence. I couldn't sense Him anywhere. Heaven seemed like it was brass. And the only place I could go to reestablish my faith, amen, wasn't just to some meeting where I get a touch, because I went to meetings when I was going through nervous exhaustion, and what I was going through had so inflamed my emotions and my nerves that other people were sensing His presence and weeping and laughing and enjoying Him. And I was like separated, segregated, and isolated. And the only thing I could cling to and hold on to was that God has not cast me off. God has not forgotten me. Can you say amen? So I'm not only remembering Him today, but I'm remembering that He's remembering me. Can you say amen? What did the thief on the cross say? Amen. He says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Can you say amen? Remember me. You may be going through something. Maybe you're going through a winter time. Every Christian goes through those places. Amen. It's not because God has cast you off or forgot you. It's because God is going to do something to deepen your faith. Amen. I'm going to tell you, I thought I had great faith because I had that mountaintop faith. You know, mountaintop faith, when everything is going good, when God is coming through, when you're seeing miracles and doors are opening, you're praying, it happens just like that. That's mountaintop faith. And I loved to be on the mountaintop. How about you? But how many have found God don't leave you on the mountaintop? He takes you through the valleys as well. He's not just the God of the mountains. He is, in fact, the God of the valleys. You remember the story, amen, from the scripture that I've told here, but I enjoy telling so much because it's biblical and it's so powerful a truth, amen, that an enemy comes up against God's people, and the Bible said they were a great army, and they came up to defeat God's people, and they fought them on the high ground, and God's people prevailed because God was with them. They were the minority, and they beat the majority because God was with them and God was for them. He remembered His covenant with Abraham. Can you say amen? And He honored it. Hallelujah. So this army said, you know something? They do have a God. There's no doubt about it, because they did. This was a supernatural victory. They acknowledged that their God is a real God. He is the true God. He fights for them and with them in battle. There's no doubt about it. This was a supernatural victory He gave. We had them outnumbered and outmanned, but they won. Can you say amen? So they must have a God with them, an invisible force with them. Their God that they worship fights with them and He fights for them. Ah, now look at this. But look at this. Now the wheels are turning. Oh yeah, they definitely got a God with them. We'll give them that. But he's the God of the mountains. He's a mountaintop God. If we get them down in the valley, He's the mountain God. He's way up there, and they're going to be way down here. If we can just get them down in the low ground, we can defeat them. Get them in the valley, and we got them, because He's only mighty on the mountaintops. Can you say amen? So they lured them into a fight in the plain. Can you say amen? And God's people prevailed again. Amen. And licking their wounds and running for their life, amen, the wheels begin to turn again. And they said, you know what? He's not just the God of the high ground. Hallelujah. He's not just the God of the mountains, but He's also the God of the valleys. Can you say amen? And if you're going through a valley, God wants you to discover that truth that they discovered. Hallelujah. That God has not forgotten you just because you're going through a valley. God has not abandoned you just because you're going through a circumstance or a situation where you can't see Him and you can't feel Him and you don't even know what He's up to. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But my God is not just the God of the mountaintops. He is the God of the valleys. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For whether I feel it, whether I see it, Thou art with me. Can you say amen? In that valley you will go through fiery trials. I don't mean to run in your hose just before church. I'm talking about the big stuff. The evil day will come to every Christian. But when thou, not if, but when you go through the fire, it shall not kindle upon thee. For I am with thee. Everybody say, the God of the valleys is still with me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And when, not if, but when you go through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. For I am with thee. Everybody say it again. The God of the valleys is with me. He hasn't forgotten me. He hasn't cast me off. Hallelujah. If you have backslid and displeased him and the enemy has stolen from you, harmed you and hurt you, God has not forgotten you. You may forget him, but he hasn't forgotten you. Can you say amen? Wow. This is the God of the Bible. This is the God of Scripture. This is the God of Israel's hope. No matter how far they drifted and how deep sin had driven them, amen, into captivity, they had to hold on to the fact that God remembers his covenant to 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? So we're here today not just to remember him, but to remember that he will not forget us. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. This is a memorial to God's faithfulness. Everybody say a memorial to God's faithfulness. And it's cause for great rejoicing. I said it's cause for great rejoicing. Scars of remembrance. The Lord's Supper is to be a perpetual reminder through the suffering unto death of Jesus that our God will never forget. Oh, by the way, when thou goest through the water, it shall not overflow thee, for I am with thee. Amen. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood. Amen. Come on. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm with you. I will not forget my covenant with Abraham. Oh, you say, what's that got to do with me? I'm so glad you asked. How many are saved? How many are therefore are in the family of God? That's called in the New Testament the household of faith. And God has a word for you, amen, that are part of the household of faith. This great family of God, hallelujah. This covenant people, hallelujah. He said they, in the book of Galatians, that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith. Can you say amen? You can trace your lineage back to Africa. You can trace mine back to England and Kentucky. Can you say amen? By way of Kentucky, via Kentucky. Praise God. Amen. But all of our lineage as Christians is traced back to a man God came into covenant with on this earth whose name is Abraham. Can you say amen? They that are of the household of faith are Abraham's seed by faith, and the blessings of faithful Abraham have come upon them. God said, I will not forget my covenant that I struck with Abraham. I will remember you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So it's a cause for great rejoicing. Everybody say great rejoicing. Isaiah 49:13-16. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For why is the whole earth commanded to praise God? What did he do that was so great that the heavens should be joyful? Well, the Bible said there's joy in the presence of angels over what? One sinner. That means when you came to Jesus, there's dancing in heaven. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. One sinner and all heaven stops to rejoice. Amen. Rejoice, O heavens. Praise God. Rejoice, O heavens. And be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains. Why? Because the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And when God's people were afflicted, the majority of the time, it was because of their own foolishness, their own folly, and their own disobedience. But God showed mercy to them. Can you say amen? God didn't forget his covenant with Abraham. Amen. And we have a better covenant established on better promises. For the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats. Can you say amen? There's cause for rejoicing. Great rejoicing. Then he says in verse 14, but Zion said, now see, we got to get a hold of this. But Zion said, when they were in the midst of their affliction, the thing that comes to our mind, whether we speak it openly or not, it's going to come to your mind. What did Zion say? when they were going through their trouble. The Lord's forsaken us. Because that's how it seemed. Amen. That God of the mountains is not here in these deep valleys of affliction. Yes, he was. And he was mighty to save. Can you save? I've often wondered and pondered this. When they took them down into Babylon, it took 70 years for their hearts to soften and an obedient generation to be raised up. And then God brought them out of Babylon's slavery and captivity, reestablished them. Hallelujah. But I've often pondered this. The Bible said that when they went down into Babylon, the people, the first thing they asked of these Hebrew slaves that they had conquered, amen, was we would hear a song of thee. Can you say amen? They were notorious for the way they worshiped God. When they were right with him, amen, someone said, you have never seen joy till you've been to one of the feasts of Abraham's seed. You've never seen joy. You don't know what joy is. There's no, oh, you think you know what joy is. You think, you listen, one of the feasts of the Jews, when they celebrated their deliverance from Egypt, said, you ain't never seen joy like they celebrate. Can you say amen? You think you partied hardy when you were out in sin? Amen. You ain't never partied till you partied with God's people who know what he's done for them and how to show appreciation for it. Amen. You say, well, I don't see too many happy Christians around. Well, why don't you try being one? Maybe it will affect somebody else. Can you say amen? Well, I don't see too many. I go to church. I don't see too many happy faces. Well, check yourself. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The Bible said the eyes of him that is joyful rejoices the heart of others. And if you got sin in your life, for heaven's sakes, get rid of it. My wife watched something on TV, and my son, we had a few, I sort of say bats in the belfry. It's not that, but that's what they say about me. But anyway, it's rats in our attic. And you could hear them up there squealing and having a good time. And of course, we took action immediately, and I put out traps, and it kills quickly and painlessly. Their necks are broken. Nobody was squirming when I went to them. Amen. We were kind to them. We just had to get rid of them. And you say, man, we put some stuff underneath the shed for them to eat. Is the Last Supper for rats. Can you say, man? It's called decon. Amen. But you can't let them. You know, somebody had bought this huge, beautiful Victorian house or whatever. They had redone it, and they couldn't. They spent thousands of dollars trying to get rid of a rat infestation. They finally had to move out of the house because it was infested with rats. Where was I going with this? Does anybody even know? No one knows where we're going with the rat infestation. It's either not important or God is going to show me before we're through teaching here today. Amen. We ain't going to leave you in the valley, brother. They were watching this movie about this infestation. They were telling me about this infestation. And when we get away from the covenant of God, when we can't, listen, you can have the most beautiful house in the world. And you can remodel it until it's got it's got the stainless steel furniture. The kitchen can have that granite countertops and gold plated faucets and sterling silver you can have it all fixed up, but if it's infested with those gnawing, clawing rats, that when you lay your head down on that Serta mattress at night and you hear those rats having a party, amen, you get out of bed to put on your house shoes and the rat actually ran and bit the woman on the toe, and the toe bled like crazy, and she had to go get those shots because she didn't know what else the rat had been eating. Amen. My grandmother's house had rats, and they were bold rats. They'd come out and look at you like, what are you doing in my house? I'm serious. There was a cat in that house, but they were almost big as the cat. Amen. My grandmother would take her false teeth and put them in a glass by her bed. She got up one morning, and her false teeth were gone. Amen. She would search high and search low. Finally, she looked under the bed, and under the bed was her dentures. Both of her dentures were under the bed. The rat had smelled the food on the dentures. He'd fished them out of the glass, took them under the bed, see if he could eat on them. I mean, that's some bad stuff. I don't care. Listen, it's no matter how beautiful your house is, if you got that, if you got an infestation like that, you can't enjoy it. Can you say amen? You know what doubt and fear does? It's an infestation of your heart, your mind, and your soul. You can't enjoy anything. You're going through things you don't understand. You cast away your faith. You don't understand there's a God in that valley. Can you say amen? He has not. He has not. He has not. He has not. It may look like it, feel like it, seem like it. I'm going to tell you by the authority of God's word, He has not forgotten you. Hallelujah. He will not forget you. He will remember His covenant with Abraham. Whatever you're going through, there is lifting up. There will come a day. Oh, there's a song out there. There will come a day. I don't know when that day is coming. I don't know how far you have to walk in that valley. But I'm here to declare you, God has not forgotten you. God has not abandoned you. And there will come a day. I thought, boy, they're going to sell that house dirt cheap because they can't get rid of the rats. And I thought my wife and I could possibly buy it. Oh, I believe we could pray them rats out of there. Amen. I honestly believe if God gave us that house, we could pray the rats out. One time our church was so full, we didn't know where to put people, and we returned them away. We thought about buying the X-rated theater on the corner that had just been abandoned. Amen. And they had more than a rat infestation. That thing was infested with demons and devils. Can you say amen? And I thought the first thing we'd have to do, amen, the first thing we'd have to do, second thing we'd have to do is get antiseptic. A lot of bleach, can you say amen, and go over everything in the whole place. Tear out all the stuff, put in some nice chairs and pews, and amen, turn the theater stage into a pulpit and a platform. But the first thing we'd have to do, amen, is cleanse it of all the spirits that were used to hanging out there. Can you say amen? But did you know that a place like that can be cleansed? Did you know what we claim for God, that Satan once held, can be cleansed? Did you know that Satan once held you? Amen. He once held me in captivity. But did you know a cleansing has come? A deliverance has come? Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You have been translated out of the powers of darkness. Can you say amen? The only way He can have any sway in your life is if you give place to Him, because He don't own you no more. Can you say amen? You got a different master. You got a different King today, and He will never forget you. He will never forget you. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been through valleys, and I could hear them chew until I couldn't sleep. Amen. I could hear them chew until I chewed with them. There's a man, a friend of ours that we know, a Christian man, and he's involved in a lot of Christian activity. And we got a recent prayer request that at night when he lays down, he bites and bruises his tongue. When he goes to sleep, he grinds his teeth from the stress that they've become under. And I remember those days when I would finally be able to go to sleep in the wee hours of the morning. And going to sleep for me felt like I was passing out. Sometimes it was scary because I didn't know whether I was going to sleep or going unconscious. So if you think you're going unconscious, you can't relax. It wakes you right back up. And then you're in this to and fro, this ebb and flow. Amen. When I was going through nervous exhaustion and I was in that deep, dark valley. Amen. But I remember I would finally go to sleep and drift away, but I would be grinding my teeth in my sleep. The stress wasn't relieved. Though I was sleeping, the stress was active in me. My mind and my body, fear had torment. And I was being tormented. I was infested with it. My defenses had come down. My giving out to others had been so profuse and protracted that I never stopped to drink in for me. I found myself high and dry in a deep valley. And I was used to God's presence coming, God's answers coming. Boom, God showing up, and He didn't show up, and the answer didn't come. And I had to go back to the cross to know that He had not forgotten or forsaken me, because if I believed that for very long, I would have given up on God, went back into sin, and wouldn't be preaching the gospel today. Amen. But God didn't forsake me. God didn't abandon me. You say, how long did it take? I'm afraid to tell you, because I had the grace to bear it, and you may not think you can get through it. But I want you to know God knows what you can bear. And He is the God of the valley. Amen. And if you will hang in there with Him, you will realize that He keeps His covenant. Amen. He remembers you. He remembers His covenant. He keeps His covenant that He established with Abraham, and through him the seed. Can you say amen? He keeps it to how many generations? To 1,000 generations. If you count back, we ain't nowhere near 1,000 generations. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And even if we were, that was just a word throughout, so that we could somehow comprehend the infinite love of God. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. He said you ought to be rejoicing. Your covenant people, even though your sins have got you into trouble. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And listen to God's response. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget. Yet I will not, yet I will not, yet I will not, yet I will not, yet I will not forget thee. Behold, I have craven thee upon the palms of my hands, and thy walls are ever before me. You know what walls he's talking about? The walls that were ruined and broken down, amen, when their enemies prevailed over them. He said, I'm a God of compassion. I'm a God of love. And when you experience defeat, even though your own sin and folly and compromise sometimes brought it, amen, I care about what's happening to you. Amen. I see your pain. I feel your pain. And I am the healer of your broken heart and your brokenness. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Didn't they rebuild those walls? Can you say amen? It said when God did it, amen, something changed. They begin to rejoice. God didn't have to get the praise from the mountains. He didn't have to get it from the trees of the field anymore. God's own people begin to praise Him. Can you say amen? When God again turned the captivity of Zion, when He brought us back out of bondage and brought us back to our land and helped us to rebuild those broken down walls, then we were as those that dream. Everybody say we were as those that dream. Hallelujah. Wow, remember Peter? He's in jail. They're so afraid that God's going to do something. They fear these men. These men have God's supernatural power with them. They said, don't just put him in prison. Amen. Don't just put him in the strongest cell we got, but put him in stocks. Can you say amen? Handcuff him. Amen. And handcuff him to two soldiers and let two armed guards sit beside of him in the prison. But prayer was made without ceasing for Peter. And the Bible said that Peter went into to sleep. Now that's an amazing thing, that you can sleep when you're in that kind of trouble. Can you say amen? But the Bible said he gives his beloved sleep. Amen. Hallelujah. He just peacefully committed himself to God, went to sleep. Amen. And when he got in a deep sleep, he felt somebody smack him on the thigh. And he looked up and an angel had just hit him. Said, wake up, Peter. And Peter woke up and he thought, boy, this is a good dream. He did. He thought, boy, this is a dream. And the angel said, come on. And he said, well, you know, stocks fell off. Wow, this is a better dream than I. Number one, I dreamed I saw an angel, dreamed he hit me to wake me up. Now I'm dreaming my stocks are off. What a dream. Ah, Lord, hallelujah. What a dream this is. Amen. And then the cell door opened. Peter said, this dream getting better and better. I don't want to ever wake up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He walks through the open door and he gets outside. And I don't know what happened. I'm going to use my highly active imagination. Amen. I believe when he got outside, the angel disappeared. And he's sitting there enjoying the dream. That skeeter bit him. I'm from Florida. That's the way I think. A skeeter bit him. You know how you pinch yourself to wake yourself up? I believe a skeeter bit him and he realized he didn't need to wake up. This actually happened. I mean, this was so beyond anything he could imagine. The Bible said he thought it was a dream until he was clean outside the prison. God's deliverance was so supernatural and powerful, he couldn't believe that God had done something so wonderful, powerful, and supernatural to set him free. Amen? When God turned the captivity of Zion, they had been in that captivity so long, they said, we had to pinch ourselves. When we walked out of Babylon and back to Israel. Hallelujah. But he said, when we realized it was true, and it wasn't a dream, that God is real and God is relevant and God actually does these things and he keeps his covenant and he didn't forsake us and he hasn't forgotten us, then was our mouth filled with song and our tongue with laughter. Can you say amen? Everybody say ho, ho, ho. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, he, he, he. We used to sing that song. He, ha, ha, hallelujah. He saved me. He saved me. I'm so glad. He sing it again. Ho, 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 Hosanna. Ha, ha, hallelujah. He saved me. I'm so glad he did. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ho, ho, he. Praise God. How can you tell when real revival comes? When God turns the captivity of Zion. Hallelujah. What is going to be the sound? Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've craven thee on the palms of my hands. When soldiers went into a campaign and they went to foreign battlefields, they had no photographs of their family. They had no Polaroids. They had no digital cameras. So what they did to show their love for their family, they would have the names of their wife and children, mom and daddy, brothers and sisters, on the palm of their hands. Those soldiers would reach for a piece of bread and you would see names inscribed, literally tattooed on the palm of their hands. It was not to show off their ink, amen. It was to show their devotion to those that they loved. That there's no battlefield so far and no campaign so long that I'll ever forget my wife. That I'll never forget that little girl. I'll never forget my son. I'll never forget my daddy. I'll never forget my mama. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I've inscribed them. That's why Israel knew exactly what he was saying. I'm inscribing you. God said, I'm inscribing you. I'm engraving you on the palm of my hands. And through that, he was telling them, I'll never forget you. I'll never forsake you. Can you say amen? There's nowhere you can go, amen, that is beyond the reach of my grace, mercy, and love, because I'll never forget you. Can a mother forget her suckling child? She might, and they do every day, but I will never. My love is divine. It's strong. It's beyond maternal love. All right. Hallelujah. He wanted Israel to know, if you'll turn back to me, I'm waiting with open arms. If you return to me, I'll return to you. I haven't forgot you. I haven't forsaken you. I haven't cast you off forever. Praise God. That's what that was all about. Let's finish this. Wow. Let's just cut to the chase. Time is fleeting. No matter how it may seem and no matter how it may feel and no matter how distant we may feel from God sometimes, we are not forgotten nor forsaken. We are loved deeply and fully by our God. The scars on Jesus' hands and body declare more than any feeling or circumstance should declare to you how deeply and fully and completely and committedly that God loves you. Can you say amen? These are scars of remembrance. This inscribing, engraving. There's a story floating around the web about a mother and son traveling down Alligator Alley. What is the name of that road that runs down the West Coast? US 41. It runs through the Everglades. And it's called Alligator Alley. It's a back way. Down to Key West, a back way down to Miami, because it runs through the Everglades. The story floating through the internet was that a mother and her 7-year-old boy and their pet dog were traveling Alligator Alley, and the dog needed to go to the bathroom. And my dog goes to the door and lets us know he's housebroken. This dog's a good boy. He's letting them know, you know, I used to work for Tampa Electric and I drove on a line crew. I drove a line truck. And I remember that I don't know why, but I just didn't need to go as frequently as the older guy that I was riding with, that I, you know, the foreman. Now I understand, but back then I didn't. But he wanted to go real bad, but he didn't want to stop the truck and take the time. And he got real frustrated because he wanted me to have to go so he could go. He didn't want to be the one that called what we called a pit stop. We need a pit stop, which means we need to go, you know, to the bathroom, because you're out there all day outdoors and they frown on it if you go on their shrubs. Can you say amen? They really do. They don't like that. Anyway, they do really. We never tried it, but I knew they would frown on it. Anyway, so we would try to find a 7-Eleven or a service station. And I remember one day we were driving down the road. We had about 4 miles to go to our next work site. And he was sitting, he would look at me, and I could see he was kind of squirmy and look at me, and I'm driving, you know, and I'm happy, amen, you know, I'm about half full, and he's running over, can you say? and so he didn't want to stop. He wanted me to say, I need to stop, so he wouldn't be the one that broke the momentum of our work day. And he looked over at me and says, Robert! I said, what? He said, you must have a 20-gallon bladder. I said, do you need to go? He said, yeah, I do. I said, okay. We pulled into a service station so he could go. Listen, the dog had to go. So they pulled off beside the road, beside a canal, and the dog ran down to the canal and started barking. He went to the bathroom and instead of back to the car, he ran down the canal. Little boy ran to get his doggy. When the little boy got near the canal, he saw what the dog was barking at. It was a gator laying right at the bank. And he tried to get his dog so the gator wouldn't. And the gator got his leg and clamped down on it. And all those teeth are designed to hold what it catches. And what the gator does to anything it catches, takes it into the deep water, rolls with it till it drowns or bleeds to death, and then it can eat it leisurely. They usually take it back to some dugout place under the water and let it kind of decompose. Gators love aged meat. Can you say, man, they really, that's how they operate. But first thing is take him to the deep and take him under. And when the mother heard the screams of her child, she bounded down that bank and she grabbed him by both wrists and set herself. And now there's a tug of war. The gator got the leg, the mama's got the wrist of the child, and there's a tug of war going on between the gator and the mama. A guy in a truck came by and saw it, stopped quickly, grabbed a gun out of his glove compartment, ran down the bank and shot the gator in the head, took the child with the mother to the nearest first aid station or hospital. They gave blood that had, so much blood had been lost through the bite. They sewed up the wounds, and when a reporter heard of it, he went to the home of this little boy after he had recovered. And he wanted an interview about that. And the little boy was 7 years old, and he had the scars where the gator had held on to his legs. And he said, as he told the story to the reporter, he said, you want to see the scars on my legs? He said, he pointed at him, said, that's how bad that gator wanted to eat me. And then he pushed up his sleeves, and he said, you see the scars on my arms? That's where his mother's fingernails had dug in when she held on with everything she was and everything she has. He said, that's how much my mama loved me. Can you say, man, the scars on his legs, everybody's been scarred by sin. Can you say, man, hallelujah, but the scars on Jesus are scars of remembrance. God has inscribed us. Our names are on those nail scars. I want you to know that in the new covenant. He's inscribed us by love on his hands and swore by his own great heart of faithfulness, I will never forget you. He's a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a gracious and good God that we serve. Praise the Lord. I'm glad today that a book of remembrance, the Bible talks about a book of remembrance. Look at Malachi 3 in closing. Malachi 3, 16 through 18. There are some people accusing God of unfaithfulness. They had been unfaithful. But it's easier to accuse God than to repent, try to get it really right with Him. But those that feared the Lord, God said, I recognize you from all these other people that are accusing me, disobeying me, questioning me. Isn't it amazing when the towers were hit? People who didn't give God the time of day wanted to know where He was when it happened. Well, where are they on Sunday morning? Where are they, amen, when it comes time to express your faith? Where are they when Jesus says, come to me and drink? Billy Graham's daughter was on one of those news broadcasts, and they set her up. And they said, where was God? He says, you can't have it both ways. She said, you can't have it both ways. You can't say we don't want God's word in a courtroom. Get rid of the Ten Commandments. We don't want to see them on the walls. Can't have it both ways. You can't take prayer out of schools and have no mention of God in schools. NBC, as they had a celebratory time, took out under God. They took it out. Isn't that amazing? Someone, as they said the Pledge of Allegiance, they purposely left out under God. Nation founded on this, but you can't say it publicly anymore. And there was such an outcry that they apologized. But we know where they're coming from. It's a secular world. The spirit of Antichrist doth already work. Yes. Yes. Don't talk about God. Don't mention God. Don't pray to God publicly. But where is He when something goes wrong? She said, you can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. And you and I can't have it both ways. You can't serve yourself or serve sin and wonder where God is when everything goes wrong. But if you've done that, even if you've done that, He won't forget you. And if you'll return to Him, He said, I'll do what? I'll return to you. What a good God we serve today. Hallelujah. Verse 16 said, they that feared the Lord spake often to one another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon His name. Everybody say, a book of remembrance. And He said, and they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then ye shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. Then, not now. Because right now, a lot of times the righteous are persecuted and the wicked seem to be prospering. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day. I said there's coming a day. There's coming a day. And the Bible said the redeemed of the Lord shall return. Hallelujah. And they shall come with singing unto Zion. And everlasting joy. Not the temporal joy of sinful pleasure. But the everlasting joy of righteous love. Hallelujah. Shall be upon their heads, Sean. There's a day coming. Oh, there's a day coming. Glory to God. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between them that serveth God and them that serveth Him not. This book of remembrance coincides exactly with the Lamb's book of life in the new covenant. Can you say amen? There's a book in the book of Revelation. It's called the book of life. Hallelujah. It's called the Lamb's book of life. But in the old covenant, it's called the book of remembrance. It's God saying, when I put your name in that book, it's symbolic of the fact that I will never forget those that are mine. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? I've engraved you upon my hands. Praise the Lord. Revelation 3:5 says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Revelation 21:27 speaks of the Lamb's book of life. Paul talked about his brethren whose names are written in the book of life. Did you know when you got saved? Amen. Either an angel or God himself pinned your name in a book. Now in closing, this is the most terrifying event of all Scripture, because it's the final consignment of the wicked to eternal banishment and punishment. It's something that's rarely ever preached on, but it's just as authoritative as any other Scripture anywhere else in the Bible. And it's Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. John said, "And I saw a great white..." Listen, I don't care how deep your valley. If you're saved today, you have reason to give God praise. Not after he comes through financially, not after he heals you. Listen, for what he's done for you at Calvary and what it means to your eternal soul, you have a reason today to rejoice. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because your name is written. Listen, great power came upon the apostles. They went out and cast out devils in his name. They came back so rejoicing for that power they had received. They said, "Devils are subject unto us." And Jesus said, "Don't rejoice, because devils are subject to you." Amen. "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." It's through my name that you have that victory. Can you say amen? But rejoice rather. There's a greater reason for rejoicing that is paramount. It transcends every other reason for rejoicing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Rejoice rather that your names are written in the book of life, that your names are written down in heaven. Can you say amen? That in that book of remembrance, your name is there. My name is there. And he said, "When I come to take up my jewels, to pull my people out of this fallen world." Hallelujah. There's a book of remembrance, and your name is in it. Rejoice in your valley. Rejoice in your trouble. Rejoice in your circumstance. Your name is written in heaven. I don't believe there'll be a true revival in America until Christians get excited about being saved again. Not just because gold dust falls or God fills somebody's tooth or heals their big toe, but because your name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. I'll give him praise today. There's a new name we used to sing written down in heaven, and it's mine, and it's mine. The white robed angels tell the story. A sinner has come home. Oh, excuse me. You knew it was a Pentecostal church when you came in it. I propped that picture, amen, up here for effect. This man told me, "You're going to break it." You're going to get excited, slap the pulpit, break that pretty picture. So I put it way away from me. You told the truth. I have reinforced watch bands. I've clapped my hands so hard, amen, my watch would fly out like that and fly out like that. One time it flew out like that and just kept right on going. Ain't gonna tell you what I do for other things to keep them from flying around. But God's sure been good to me. I can't help having joy today. Can you say, "I'm saved"? My name's written down in heaven. Can you say, "Man, hallelujah"? And I don't believe you can truly appreciate what you're saved to until you really get a handle on what you're saved from.
Amen, brother.
Amen. You need to know where you would be without Jesus. Listen to this. "And I saw a great white throne," verse 11, Revelation 12, 20, "and him that sat on it, from whose face, earth and heaven fled away. There's no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened." The books were opened. See, all of our deeds are recorded. Every sin of commission, every sin of omission, they're in books, they're recorded. God remembers them. Amen? No one's going to sneak into heaven without the blood of Jesus. When those books are open, no one can stand the scrutiny of God as our judge without his mercy. No one. But another book, singular, takes books to record all of our sins. But there's only one book. One book. One book of remembrance. Once your name is pinned into it, that's the only book that matters. Can you say amen? Listen to it. I'm talking about for eternity. That's the book that matters. You have to keep your faith in Him. You cannot turn away from Him lest your name be blotted out of that book. But I want you to know it's the book of life. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, plural, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written where? In the book of life. Everybody say the book of remembrance. Hallelujah. Was cast into the lake of fire. In the previous scripture it said blessed. Part of the scripture said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, over whom the second death hath no power. Why doesn't it have any power? Because your name is in a book of remembrance. Can you say, man, it's written in the Lamb's book of life. Heaven right now records your name as a citizen of that holy city. Before you even get there, your name is already recorded as a citizen. And that's why the Bible said our conversation, Sean, it doesn't mean the way we talk. It means for our destiny, our conversation, our citizenship, literally in the Greek, is in heaven. Amen. And we're here as aliens, pilgrims, strangers, sojourners. Can you say amen? Ambassadors for Jesus. But heaven acknowledges us as part of that great company. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is a cause for great rejoicing. So let us rejoice today, though it sometimes seems that the wicked prosper and the righteous suffer. God will remember us. Our names are written in the book of remembrance, the Lamb's book of life. Jesus will forever bear the scars of remembrance. The only body, according to the scripture, that will not be made completely whole and perfect is the body of Jesus. When we see Jesus, He will bear the scars of remembrance. And we will remember that that's why we're in heaven. Every time we see Him, we will see them. When He puts His hand out to hold us, we'll see the nail prints. And we'll say, that's why I'm in heaven. Not my works, my righteousness, but those holds in His hands, the suffering for our sake. That's why. That's why we'll never get over it. Age without end. We'll sing His praises forever. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Glory to God. And down here is a dressing room for heaven for the church. Can you say amen? When we have these worship services, we're getting ready for what we're going to do before the throne of the Lamb. What a mighty, wonderful God. Are you ready to remember what He did on the cross? And remember, no matter where you are, God remembers you. Hallelujah. Let's honor Him in holy communion. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Will you please serve us today? Glory to God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. If I didn't discover that, I wouldn't be preaching today. I don't know what I would be doing. But God has been faithful to me. Hallelujah. When my faith shook, when my faith wavered, He did not. He remembered me.